Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Ray Bentley. He has written a book along with Bodie Taney called The Threshing Floor. It's a Jack Garrison novel. It's part of the Elijah Chronicles, book two. And Mr. Bentley, it's great to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, great to be with you, Jerry. I've listened to your program, and you do a great job, my friend.
Oh, you're very kind. Well, tell me, what are the Elijah Chronicles?
Well, the Elijah Chronicles is a series of books about this character. It's basically a younger guy named Jack Garrison that gets caught up into Israel. He's an American professor. And the next thing he knows, he's put on a commission to go to Jerusalem and do some findings on Israel and what's fair between the Israelis and the Palestinians. And he gets taken into a radical, divine journey and story that's going to absolutely change his life. He literally steps into prophecy, steps into the story of Bible prophecy happening right now in Israel.
That's very, very interesting. Did you go to Israel yourself, or have you gone there a few times and so forth?
Yes, I have been many, many times. I'm a pastor and love, you know, speaking and writing and talking about prophecy. And I've been between probably close to 30 times to Israel. So it's kind of like my other home.
Wow. All right. The title of the book, The Threshing Floor. Tell us about the original threshing floor that David bought, its location and the symbolism throughout the book related to that.
Yeah, The Threshing Floor, I use that title for this book because I really believe that this is what the original Temple Mount was. It's where David went. God told him to buy the threshing floor of Araunah, which was on the top of this mountain. And so he went and purchased it, and that's where God said, I want my temple to be. So that's where Solomon, his son, would actually build the temple. This is literally the holiest site, you know, to the Jewish people. This is where Jesus went to the temple, where he taught, where he preached. It's also the same mountain that Abraham went and sacrificed, or was called to sacrifice his son Isaac. All of those things happened on this mountain. And, you know, it's on a mountain because that's where the wind comes to separate the wheat from the chaff. So, Jerry, I really see what God is doing right now. It's like a magnifying glass. You know, there's about 200 and some countries in the world right now. And God, in 1948, when Israel became a nation again, God put the magnifying glass on one country in all the countries of the world to focus on Israel. Because now Bible prophecy is about to be fulfilled. Christ and his kingdom are about to come. Well, then he took the magnifying glass and brought it even closer and magnified, and so that pinpoint of light got even closer in 1967, which was, of course, the Six-Day War, where Israel, for the first time, recaptured the ancient city of Jerusalem. And I believe that we're now in the final phase where God's going to take the magnifying glass. Jerry, I don't know if you remember when, you know, as a kid, you take a magnifying glass, get like a little piece of wood or a dead leaf, and you get it to that little tiny, you know, hole of light that literally starts smoking and creates fire. So I think we're getting the final phase of the magnifying glass is going to focus on the Temple Mount itself. Wow. And that's what the threshing floor is all about.
And what's the significance to you of Jerusalem becoming the capital of Israel, which really, frankly, came about because of Trump's insistence in 2017 or 18? I guess it was 18.
Yes. I mean, that is incredible because we're the biggest, most powerful nation in the world. And it was back in 1995 when our own Congress, and by the way, it was Democrats as well as Republicans in 1995 said, you know what, we as the United States ought to make Jerusalem the capital of Israel because that's, you know, every country in the world gets to declare what their capital is. And they said, our capital is Jerusalem. But they kept kicking the can down the road every 6 months. They said, well, don't sign it now. Maybe peace will break out. So peace never broke out, and basically they never actually ratified it. So finally, President Trump was the first president to say, look, Congress has already agreed, Democrats on the left, Republicans on the right, I'm going to do what you guys decided then, and he moved the embassy to Jerusalem. And that that has literally catapulted us, I believe, into prophetic days like we've never seen before.
Wow. Interesting. Now, this book, and I have to admit, I haven't read it, but my wife read it. I haven't read it yet. My wife read it and gave me some good notes. So I'm commenting or asking you to comment on some of her notes. But she said that the battle over Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh is actually in this book. How does that work, and what's the spiritual warfare behind it? I mean, I find that fascinating because I followed that story very carefully.
Yes. Actually, his name and the background of that name in the Hebrew, it's something that really is significant. That means that he has been selected by God in a very special way for such a time as this. And when you talk about the Supreme Court, these are the guys and the women that decide the laws of the land and what is going to be backed by, ultimately, truth and light. The will of God. So I think it's just fascinating. We wanted to throw that in there for the readers to realize that this is deeper than politics, Jerry. This is going to the prophetic. It's going to the biblical. It's going to the supernatural. Everything that's happening right now politically in our country, in our nation, and the world has a prophetic lens that we can bring to it. And I think people are going to love reading the story of the threshing floor and seeing some of these prophetic insights.
George Soros, is he in your book?
Yes, actually he is. So here's a fascinating character that is, he's kind of this globalist. Right now, you have a battle in various parts of the world. It's in America, and on one side are the globalists, and they're the ones that say, look, we should have no borders, and we should have no identities. The whole world is just one big happy family, and we're a global community. On the other side are those that are saying, yeah, we're one human family, but we have our own country, our own history, our own culture, our own background, our own likes and preferences and foods and traditions, and we'd like to keep that. We want to be part of the world. But, there was a prophecy that was given to the ancient Hebrew prophet Daniel, and he said he saw the image of man, this image of a man from head of gold down to the toes that were iron and clay, and the iron and clay could not mix. And he says it's during this time where, and I believe that we have this globalism that cannot mix with nationalism. It's happened in Brexit in Europe. It's happening, and the outbursts that are happening right now today in Iran. The people are in the streets yelling and screaming. They're doing it in Lebanon, countries all over the world. And Hong Kong has grabbed China literally by the collar and shaking that up. So this is exactly what the Bible prophet said would be in the last days. There would be this tremendous battle. So here's George Soros. He's Jewish, but he is a globalist. Mm-hmm. And his name has an interesting background, in part what it means, and it's not about life. It's not a good name, good history, and so we weave that into the story. And I think as people read it, they're going to go, "Wow!" So there's another layer to what's really going on.
Okay, how about a comment on peace in the Middle East? I mean, everybody always says, oh, we want peace in the Middle East, but a lot of times when they do this or they talk about a two-state solution, in effect, Israel is virtually always the one that loses out in that kind of scenario.
Yeah, well, it's a great question. Literally, the 71 years or so of Israel's modern existence, from the very beginning in 1948, they said, look, we'll settle. Give us this much. So unfortunately, it has for over 70 years been kind of the other side that we could never agree with the starting point, let alone an ending point, because they believe it all should be theirs. So we have this conflict going on. What I think makes this very interesting today, so we see the Jews and the Palestinians, and they can't seem to come together. But Jerry, there's a bigger picture and a bigger lens going on. Now all of a sudden you have Saudi Arabia, you have the Arab Emirates, and Iran has a nuclear gun to their head. And so all of a sudden, little by little, Saudi Arabia said, hey, you know what? We, as part of the larger Arab world, bigger than just the Palestinians, We believe that we can work a deal with Israel. We can allow an Israel to exist. And it's because they need Israel's protection in the neighborhood, because the Iranians have nukes not only poised toward Israel, but even to Saudi Arabia, because ultimately they want to overthrow Saudi Arabia to unite the global caliphate under their Shiite understanding of Islam. So it makes for a fascinating time as we see what's happening. So I believe what's coming very soon, a shocking headline that was predicted 2,500 years ago by the Hebrew prophets, is a peace deal will come about. It may not be on the ground level between the Jews and Palestinians. It may be on the bigger, grander scale with the Arab world of about 450 million Arabs in the world saying, no, we need to come together and make a compromise and make a peace. And when you start talking about a peace deal, now you're in the end of the prophecies of the book of the Bible.
Wow. How do you explain, since, you know, Israel has a right to exist, right? How do you explain the animosity we see toward Israel from some of the even liberal mainstream churches? And there's even on college campuses now, there's a popular BDS, which I forget exactly what that stands for. I think it's boycott, divest, and stigmatize. Oh, sanction. Yeah, there it is. Yes. In other words, there's this animosity towards Israel. It's almost irrational. It's kind of like the Trump derangement syndrome, but, you know, directed toward the country of Israel.
Yeah, well, you know, I think that, so let's say for me and maybe our generation, you know, growing up, one of the most amazing things that ever happened to me as a young Christian was in 1967, when, you know, Israel was this little nation, a startup nation, and, you know, all the Arab world was aligned against them. And then they got into this war, and in 6 days, they defeated all the 5 invading armies. They recaptured the ancient city of Jerusalem. They were kind of like a little David going against Goliath, and it shocked the world. And to this day that they captured Jerusalem. But now you take younger people, millennials, when they were born and they grow up and they go, well, they're already, you know, was in Israel and they already, you know, had Jerusalem. But their perspective is now Israel is the Goliath. They have the nukes and the Palestinians are just little guys throwing sticks and stones. So to them, they just go, oh, it's not fair. But they're looking at it from a surface level. So, you know, we need to be able to bring a whole new generation into a modern understanding that Israel is still a tiny little nation surrounded by a sea of, you know, 500 million Arab people. There's a lot of details and layers that we need to look at this. And ultimately, I think it goes all the way back to the same spiritual father, Abraham. So for Jews, they look back to Abraham. But to the Arab people, they look back to Abraham as well because he had a son named Ishmael. And we don't have time to go into it all, but when Ishmael's mother, Hagar, took her little son, and now, you know, there's conflict because Sarah now has a child and has Isaac. And there's a father wound, I think, in the hearts of the sons and daughters of Ishmael. And we need to know that God gave a promise to Ishmael. He said, you're going to have 12 tribes. I'm going to give you land. I'm going to give you blessings. But I've got other blessings uniquely I'm going to give to my son Isaac. So there's a wound from an original family that's grown to this day that God wants to heal for such a time as this.
Wow. All right, we have about 40 seconds left. RayBentley.com for more information. Bentley is spelled B-E-N-T-L-E-Y. Do you want to have a closing thought, Ray, on the threshing floor? 30 seconds, please.
Yeah, well, I just want to, I know a lot of people look at prophecy and they might get scared or whatever. I want to say this is the most exciting, encouraging hour in human history. They just did a study and found out that right now, Jerry, Christianity is the fastest growing religion. It's growing faster than the population. Secondly, the number of people that heard the gospel has shrunk from only half of the world hearing about the gospel in 1900. Today, it's down to 28%. And the last thing to encourage them is atheism is decreasing around the world. And 1970 was its heyday, and it's been decreasing ever since 1970. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is coming. Wake up and look up.
Amen. RayBentley.com for more information. Thank you, Ray. God bless.
God bless. Bye-bye.